Okay, recording has started. So members, if everybody's happy, we can make a start the meeting. You're all very welcome here today on this beautiful sunny day. I hope you're enjoying the weather. I want to make a particular welcome to Karen Beattie, who's joining us from the Northern Ireland Audit Office. Karen's new to us, but not to the Audit Office. And to Christine as well, Christine Hagen, who you all know. And to every officer and councillor, you're welcome. We've got the apologies through, I believe, so it's then for me to read the introductory remarks, and if you'll bear with me, I shall read this out. I would like to welcome everyone to the meeting this afternoon. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidance for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters: type Q for a question, P for a propose, and S for second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event that two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as the proposer and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, thank you members. I know you've listened to that, I'm sure, 100 times at this stage. Okay, we can move on then to declarations of interest. If I could take any declarations, members.
Sure. Chair, it's Christine here. I declare an interest at 10.9.
Thank you, Christine. No other interest declaration?
Yeah. Interest in item 7. I sat on the annual chair's assessment.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Byrne. And I have, in my own respect, a declaration of interest in item number 6 and 7. I prepared the self-assessment at 6 and I'm involved, obviously, as the chair in the performance review, but I'm advised by the director that I don't actually need to leave the meeting for either of those items if members are content. Okay. Thank you, members. We'll move on then to item number 3, which is the action sheet for the Audit Committee of the 12th of January 2021, and we'll take each page for accuracy. Page 1. Councillor Dillon, you're coming up with in relation to item 3. If you query in
Oh, sorry, that's Louise just putting in the item number.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
My apologies. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. And page 7. So members, we can take that as accurate. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please? Councillor Casey has proposed and Councillor Sharvin has seconded. Thank you, members. Okay, moving on to item number 4, the date and start times for Audit Committee meetings 21-22. Members, you have in your packs a schedule showing the next 4 meetings. and I'm not seeing any queries on those, so I'm assuming they're accepted. Director, do I need a proposer and seconder, or just for noting?
Just for noting, they'll actually be formally agreed at the AGM.
Okay, thank you. We just can take to note those. Item number 5 is in relation to the Audit Committee, the terms of reference and the timetable of work. And I've asked Gerard to take this report. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, in line with good practice, the Audit Committee terms of reference have to be reviewed annually. So last year's terms of reference were reviewed and they were still compliant with CIPA's best practice, so no amendments were required, but members still have to approve them for this year. Also laid out at Appendix 2 then is the timetable for the Audit Committee going ahead this year. So there's standing agenda items which members would expect to see at every committee, and then there's also supplementary items which would go to certain committees. So like, for example, in July you'll see the unaudited statement of accounts have to go on the Audit Committee annual report. There's one omission in the agenda. It was agreed at the January Audit Committee that the members' interest, register of interest, will go on a 6-monthly basis. So these will be going in July 2021 and also in December 2021. So these will be added to the agenda, and this will be reflected in the minutes. Appendix 2 also details who should be attending the pre-meeting of each Audit Committee for each quarter. So members are to approve the terms of reference and note the timetable for the year ahead.
Thank you, Gerard. I don't see any queries, so if I could have a proposer and seconder, please. Okay, members, I have a proposer, Councillor Murphy. And a seconder, Councillor Sharvin. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is item number 6, Audit Committee Self-Assessment. This is an annual self-assessment, members, that we do to see how effective the Audit Committee actually is. You will have seen a questionnaire going out to you, prepared by myself. I'm getting feedback from that then, and I was able to prepare the report. I'm very happy to say that based on the review of the whole work of the year, the Audit Committee is, I believe, operating effectively. And I want to show my appreciation and give my appreciation to everybody involved, internal and external audit, all officers and elected members who have allowed that to happen, because it's been a very difficult year for everybody involved. So much appreciation. I don't intend to go into any detail. You can see the key issues in the report at item number 2. And I'll just draw your attention to the training. We do get required training from the council every year, and this year, as you've seen in the papers as well, it's going to be on risk management and the Orange Book updates, etc. So Jura will be and the director will be moving that forward in the not too distant future. Okay, members, could I have a proposer and seconder for that item? If I have no questions. No questions. I have a proposer from Councillor Casey. And a seconder from Councillor Murphy. Thank you very much.
Sure. I had a cue there on the last one. I was a wee bit slow with my keyboard. It was around on the terms of reference item.
Yes, Councillor Casey, please go ahead.
Yeah, for some unknown reason, I was of the opinion that the terms of reference for the Audit Committee was the chair and vice chair of each committee. I don't know where I got that from. Maybe that was a legacy council issue. I know being on the Audit Committee, it's very exciting, I have to say, because I've been on audit at with NILGA and an audit with the Board of IBCNI, and I know the work that's involved in it, but and it's not that I don't want to be a member of it, but where I have got that from, that it was for chair and vice chair of each committee, which I thought was a reasonably good suggestion at the time. I wonder where I got that from.
Director. Yeah. No, not in this council, Charlie. It's by de hand. So when we go to the AGM each year, the parties will pick under the de hand system. So all the committees, just like any other committee, parties choose it under that voting system.
Okay. Thank you, Director.
It's not that I don't want to be on it, Doreen.
I know.
Thank you, Councillor Casey. I have a question from Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, it was just on Charlie's point when he was saying the chairs or whatever. We asked that people stay in it for 4 years just to try and get build up experience in the audit committee. So I think with the chairs, we did discuss that in the previous meeting, and I know Charlie had raised that point, but if the chairs change every year, it means that we're all finding our feet for 6 to 8 months. So I think the way going forward is to keep us all on for 4 years.
Thank you, Councillor.
Stay where you are, Charlie.
I have raised that in that report under item number 2, and it is invaluable and recommend a good practice for members to stay on, but I'm aware there's very little change to our audit committee from a member point of view at the moment, but I know it's not actually in place to keep members for 4 years, so it's up to members if that's what they wish to propose going forward in the future. Okay, members, we move on from that to item number 7, the annual assessment of the audit committee chairperson's performance, and Doreena is going to take this. Thank you, Director.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, you have in front of you a paper which demonstrates an annual performance review was undertaken by the Chief Executive in her role as accounting officer for the organisation, and then Councillor Pete Byrne as the nominated representative from the members sitting on the audit committee. I facilitated the review using a best practice checklist developed by the National Audit Office. Both Councillor Byrne and the Chief Executive felt that the chairperson has demonstrated performance aligned to best practice. So I would ask you to note that report and to just from, I suppose, officer perspective, to thank the chairperson for her role as carried out. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. My thanks to everybody in supporting me as chair as well. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I don't have any questions, so I take that report for noting. You can take that as noted. Okay, members. Moving on to item number 8.1, corporate risk register. Doreena, are you going to take that report?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So, members, as you'll be aware, we review the corporate risk register at least quarterly. The last review was carried out by the senior management team on the 1st of April. We aligned to that review our quarterly director assurance statements, and again, they were completed for quarter 3 and provided to the accounting officer, to the chief executive, to inform and update the corporate risk register as appropriate. So you have the corporate risk register as it stands attached. At item 2, we just draw your attention to a number of key issues. We're showing 14 corporate risks at present. Any changes to risk ratings, etc., you can see quite clearly on the one-pager summary. We are proposing a number of changes to the corporate risk register, and I'll just go through those there at 2.1. In terms of corporate risk 10 and corporate risk 3, you will be aware that we had elevated corporate risk 10 with a focus on fire risk assessments. You'll see that a lot of progress has been made in that area, and you'll pick up some internal audit commentary on that later on the agenda. As a result, we believe that we can now to say that we don't still retain a risk here, but we believe that it is sufficiently managed that it can be incorporated into risk 3 as part of our compliance with all legislative requirements. So that's one proposal. The second one then is in terms of corporate risk 11. We are retaining the risk, but just removing the specific reference to COVID-19. Our sickness absence statistics for the last year would indicate that COVID-19 didn't manifest, I suppose, as a particularly big factor in our sickness absence, and actually our sickness absence days have improved in the last year. We still believe we carry a risk there, so we're just removing the reference to COVID-19 as a particular risk factor. And then in relation to corporate risk 14, we talked about this at the last audit committee. You will see a new risk which has been developed in relation to cybersecurity. We believe that this is a particularly significant risk for the organisation at present, especially as we continue to work in remote and hybrid working environments. And we're going to talk to you later on about that risk in more detail. So that's our proposals at present. You will see there that our direct registers have been updated recently as well, and a report on risk management will be presented to you later in the audit committee by ASM. So happy to take any comments or questions, Chair.
Thank you, Director. I don't see any questions coming through. We don't have any questions, so we have a question from Councillor Casey. You're on mute there, Councillor Casey.
There's a famous catchphrase now on Zoom, is it? You're on mute, you're on mute. It's around number 9, I think, the terms and conditions of staff, workers. I thought we had some sort of conclusion to issues around terms and conditions. It says it's still affecting management, but not management, but affected performances. How are we on that?
Sure.
Terms and conditions.
Yeah, I suppose we have a conclusion to the recent industrial action that we faced, and we're working that through. We still have a programme of work. Just to conclude matters in that area, and that programme was agreed by the SPNR committee just last week. So we are retaining it as a risk at this point until we adequately conclude all of that work.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Casey. I don't have any other questions, so I'm going to ask for a proposer and seconder to agree the changes that the SMT have proposed. I have a proposer from Councillor Murphy and a seconder from Councillor Casey. Thank you, members. Okay, moving on to number 9, which is our 8.2, I beg your pardon, is prompt payments, and I would ask Juror to take this report.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, this is just the standing agenda items on quarterly prompt payment statistics. So, we now have full year statistics available, and statistics are down slightly on the previous year pre-COVID level. So in 1920, we paid 90% of our invoices within the 30-day period, and in this year, we paid 86% of invoices within the 30 days. So the bar chart really highlights the differences per quarter in the 2 years. So in quarter one of this year, in 2021, it fell to 82%, and this was directly related to staff working from home and getting systems up and running. And by quarter four, we have increased this to 88%. So I think there has been good progress being made, and we're nearly back to pre-COVID levels. 2.2 then details both quarters, quarter three of 2021, which highlights that 86% of invoices were paid within 30 days, and the average number of days to pay suppliers was 23. And then quarter four, from January 21 to the end of March 21, 88% of invoices were paid within 30 days, and the average number of days to pay suppliers was 24. So members are just asked to note this report.
Okay, thank you, Gerard, for that. We don't have any questions, so we'll just accept that as noted. Thank you. Members, items number 9.1 through to 11.1 are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. I'd like to have a proposer, if I may, and a seconder to go into closed business. Okay, thank you. Councillor Hanlon has proposed and Councillor Sharpen has seconded. So, Louise, are we good to go then? I take it you turn off the recording, is that right?
Yes, we do.
The decisions that were taken during the closed business.
Yeah, you're okay, you're good to go now.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. Okay, I'm going to update the committee on the decisions that were taken during closed business. Item 9.1, an update on initial audit recommendations, including the risk profile. It was agreed to note the update contained in the report dated 22nd of April 21 from Mr. G. Byrne, the Audit Services Manager, in relation to the legacy audit recommendations and the risk profile of the internal audit reports, and it was also agreed to bring back a report on planning to the next audit committee. 9.2, the update in relation to ASM investigation, council use of single tender items. It was agreed to note this report from Ken Montgomery, the Assistant Director of Finance. Item 9.3, the Director of Work Contracts. It was agreed to note this report, the update contained in the report from Mr. Gerard Byrne in relation to the single tender actions. 9.4, the update in relation to fraud and whistleblowing. It was proposed by Councillor Gibbons and seconded by Councillor Sharvin to note the report and also to approve Part A of the appendix, which is designed to assist the Audit Committee members when reviewing, seeking assurance on, or challenging the effectiveness of Council's participation in the National Fraud Initiative. Item 9.5, the update replanning services. It was agreed to note the position as outlined in the report dated 22nd of April from Mr. Conor Mallon, the Director of Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism. Item 9.6, the update on cybersecurity. It was agreed to note the presentation given by Gavin Ringland on cybersecurity. Item 10.1, the ASM summary report. It was agreed to note this report. Item 10.2, ASM annual assurance report 2021. It was agreed to note the report. Item 10.3, ASM internal audit report re-risk management. It was agreed to note the report. 10.4, ASM internal audit report re-HR policy review. It was agreed to note this report. Item 10.5, ASM internal audit report refuel management. It was agreed to note the report. Item 10.6, ASM internal audit report re-fleet management. It was agreed to note the report. Item 10.7, ASM internal audit report re-follow-up of prior year recommendations. It was agreed to note the report. 10.8, internal audit strategy and plan. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to approve the audit strategy and annual plan for 21-22. 10.9, review of internal audit contract, ASM. On the proposal of Councillor Casey, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed that the first 1 year extension period should be utilised so work can commence on the third year of the 4 year internal audit plan. And item 11.1, external audit strategy, it was agreed to note the report. Okay, members, thank you for bearing with me. That takes us to item 12.1, the draft performance improvement objectives. And I was going to suggest potentially we could note this report unless members have any questions. Is that appropriate, Duna?
Yes, it's only here for noting, Chair. It's been to SPNR, which would be the committee that would actually approve the report, so it's here for noting.
Okay. And members, given that, then items number 13 circulars are all 13.1 to 13.3 are all for noting. Okay, members, I think that brings us to the end of the meeting, and I just want to thank everybody for their cooperation and wish you well and enjoy that lovely weather. So thank you, everybody. Thanks to everybody.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.